All right, let's open up to Colossians chapter 1 tonight. And the Lord laid something on my heart, and the message title is Stubborn Sins. You ever have some stubborn things in your life that seem to just hang on? You know what I mean? Stinking things. If he wants to hang the hook, he can do that, just so that he realizes that. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to begin there in verse number 9 in a moment, but it is time for self-examination. And I'm speaking spiritually, of course. Self-examination. We need to take a long, hard look at ourselves right now. We are in the year 2021, and 2020 was a weird year, to say the least. You know, we went from having the services being, a lot of Sundays we didn't have empty spaces, and then the Sunday when that first all hit, you know, we had five people in here, seven people, whatever it was, and been kind of dealing with all of that ever since, and having to move out chairs and stuff, and just you know, what's happening out there in the world. So it's been one of those years. I'm glad it's in the rearview mirror. Amen. But I expect that 2021 is going to be a much, much stronger year for the body of Christ. There will be growth within the people, and you're going to see a difference. But now, the thing is about all of that, if you don't apply yourself in the Word, you can just coast along and not see any difference. And that really, there's a danger of that, okay? That's why we need to do and take some time for some self-examination in the respect of you saying, Lord, reveal. If there's any bad stuff in my life that I need to eradicate and get out, then I want to do that. And I want you to be brutally honest about it. If there's something that you have allowed into your life that you know good and well is not of God, it's time. It was time yesterday. It was time a long time ago to get rid of it. Amen. And there are things that people think, well, they justify. Every time I've ever talked to somebody who has talked to me about some things in their life, they always inevitably they'll try to justify it in order to soften it and not have to really deal with it, right? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been tempted to, we joke about the diet thing, you know, and you know good and well that you shouldn't be eating certain things. And then it's like, oh, well. Right? Oh, I'm speaking to myself here now, I guess. But, one more won't hurt. Just, you know, another case of ho-hos isn't going to hurt me. Do they still make ho-hos? Somebody's going to go, I don't know, because I don't eat them, Pastor Dan. See, they still make them. So you do eat them. Yeah.
I know they make them, but I don't have to eat them.
That's questionable now, you know. So. Anyway, but Twinkies, you know what I'm saying? Twinkies. Oh, those apple pies, man. Ding dong. Susie Q's were my favorite. Oh, Susie Q, man. Oh, yeah. Anyway, but I want you to be brutally honest about it and not try to soften the blow. The scripture says, don't make provisions for the flesh that you can obey it in the lust thereof. So we need to be very, very cautious of that. You know, you can make an excuse for pretty much anything. You know, there are people making excuses. I saw today, in fact, I mentioned it when Eva was out here doing some work, and I said, you know, that the president, well, you know who's the president now, is supposed to be. His pick for HHS secretary. And it's this guy that believes in partial birth abortion and late-term abortion. And I'm like, you devil. Man, you would kill a baby, let the baby be crowned and jab it and think nothing of killing a human being like that? Makes you want to fight. terrible, man. It's terrible stuff that's going on. So we have to be very, very, very careful about how we conduct ourselves, because I confessed to Eva, I said, that angered me. And I think of the innocent little babies. I remember when Austin was born, that little innocent baby, come on. Those of you that are mamas or dads, and you know how innocent a child is, your child, and somebody could allow that child to be killed like that because it's an inconvenience. We're all adults in here tonight. You know, the fact is, you know, people talk about, well, I'm pro-choice. Well, God's not one who's against life. God is pro-life. God's not pro-death, okay? I will say this, and be very careful how you hear this right now. God is for you making a choice. I set before you life and death. Deuteronomy what? 30 verse 19. Blessing and cursing. So what are you going to choose? The Bible says to choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. That's a serious thing. That's a serious thing. And for people to turn a blind eye to it, a deaf ear to the cries of what's going on, and act like it's a woman's prerogative to choose. Yeah, it is. To stay out of bed if that's what's going to be going on. And the same with the man. Just say it, zip it, you know? I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? But this business of we'll do whatever we want, we'll just kill it if we don't, if she gets pregnant. Wow, that's serious. That is a serious scourge on this nation, that our leaders need to address from a biblical perspective. So we can still keep believing for that. Amen. So be brutally honest with yourself about this. Is there anything in your life that is displeasing to the Lord? If there is, confess it before the Lord and receive your cleansing. Now, I want you to turn over to, we haven't even read Colossians 1 first. So let's read Colossians 1, then I'll have you turn to another portion of Scripture. Colossians 1, look at verse number 9. For this cause, this was one of the first verses I ever learned, and I found out that God wanted me to know his will. It's the will of God that you know his will. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge, or with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Look at verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, or being well pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, in other words, in the knowledge of his will for your life. We should be every day seeing the will of God for our life in a better focus. If people tell me over and over, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life, I just don't know, well, what are you doing? If you're spending time before the Lord, he's going to open that veil up. He's going to show you the plans he has for your life. They're good plans, amen? Oh, yeah, amen. So now flip over to 1 John chapter 1, and this is that verse of Scripture that every Christian needs to know this verse, because there are times Christians fall out of line with the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1, and of course, 1 John is not written to sinners. Do you hear me? And that is very, very, very important. Because if it is written to sinners, and he says if we confess our sins, and only then is he faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, this is verse 9, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you better be making sure that you confess every sin you ever committed. This is talking to the church. When you received Christ into your heart, you didn't have to go through and renounce every sin that you ever committed. What happens if you miss one? Then you're not saved. Well, that's not the truth. This is talking to believers. And so for a believer, You know, in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. What is he saying? He's saying every Christian falls into some kind of sin at some point. Do they have to? No. But if, verse 9, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I've done extensive study on 1 John 1 and in particular verse 9. And that word homologeo is a great word where it talks about confess. Thayer's puts it this way. To confess, that is to admit, or declare oneself guilty of what one is accused of. So when you homologeo, when you confess it, yes, and it does mean to come back into line with what God has said, and that's true, but it's also admitting guilt. Do you hear me? Here's the old saying, admit it, quit it. Now, that sounds awfully simple, but it's really the truth. People that want to hang on to these stubborn sins, secret sins, they don't want to admit it. They want to kind of smooth it out a little bit and soften the blow of the whole thing so that I can continue to go that direction and not feel so guilty about it. And woe unto the preachers that make it easy on people to do that. Do you hear me? Well, we have to be relevant, Pastor Dan. We have to be cool. No, you need to be Word of God oriented. Amen? You need to be in line with the Word of God. And this is saying if you mess up, if you sin, you confess it, you admit what you've done. And by admitting what you've done is wrong, now you have that opportunity for him to... See, it says that he will forgive you. So in your confession of it, and it is, he says, if we confess our sins. See the word sins there? If we do that, if we confess it, if we verbalize it, admit it, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is such a wonderful fail-safe. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the Bible says. Well, if you sin, if you confess it before him, man, I mean, that's not when God found out about it, I can tell you that much. God didn't go, you did what? I looked the other way and what did you do? No, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. I mean, he's looking for people to bless and he sees what you're doing, okay? He even knows what you're thinking before you do it. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel kind of naked, doesn't it? You know, I mean, but really, you should realize that before the Lord, I mean, there are no secrets. But let me say this. Let me just put a little asterisk by that statement. Because if you have confessed a sin before him and said, I'm admitting it and I'm quitting it, I receive my forgiveness, guess what he said he would not do? He would remember your sins no more. So don't you come up to me and tell me God brought something up in your life that you've already repented of and confessed before him and walked away from, and God's bringing it up to deal with me on this situation. He is not. Well, God could. Not if he's going to stay faithful to his word. He said he would not remember your sins or your iniquities anymore. He doesn't come to you and say, you know what? When you were a kid, you did this, 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 and this, and you're still letting that affect your behavior today. Now, God's not bringing that up because it's already been forgiven. The devil may be dinging you about something that you did a long time ago. Your response doesn't need to be, oh, God, help me with this thing. I'm such a lost person. No, wait a minute. You're a new creation in Christ. And you need to recognize the rat that's trying to mess with your head. Remember when you did this? Shut up. The man that did that, the woman that did that died. And I'm a new creation. Old things passed away. You shut your mouth, devil. You're under my feet. In fact, get out of here. People play with the devil. You know, a lot of Christians have that old Van Halen running with the devil as their theme song. And I'm sorry to say, but there are a lot of Christians that on Sunday, they want to run with the Lord. But then come Monday, running with the devil. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to run on the devil. Stomp him into the dirt. Amen? Come on, amen? That wasn't very strong. Well, I'll think about it. No. Now, this stubborn sin thing, one of the things that we're going to adjust in the next few minutes, we're not going to go long tonight, but as I said, 2020 was, it introduced a challenge that most believers have not had to deal with in their lifetime. And that challenge is fear. This whole virus has produced a fear in people, and a lot of them don't even realize that they're walking in fear. Now, I know that you recognize the difference. Amen? And let me say this before we go any further. I'm not here to condemn anybody about walking in fear. I want you to recognize that walking in fear is not all right. And you can't couch it. Here's that kind of trying to patty cake it and smooth it out. You can't couch fear under the guise of being smart. Now, wisdom is from the Lord, and being smart is of God. Sure it is. And you listen to him, but you can't allow fear to dominate you and you not address the fear and act like everything is all right, but underneath it all, you know good and well, you're afraid. Now, I pray that that's not the case in us tonight. But I would be a liar to say to you that I have not been confronted with fear over the last year. Yeah. I woke up one night and the devil said, you're going to get this and you're going to have it. And everything you've been preaching is just going to go. And I'm like, shut up in the name of Jesus. I'm not getting it. Not going to have it. Now, I know some very good, strong Christian people whose bodies evidently were weak in some area, and they contracted it, but they came through it with filing. I was going to say filing colors. No, it was flying colors. You know, my tongue got hooked around my eye tooth, and it just couldn't see where I was going, you know. Good people that love God, that are strong in faith, that God has done wonderful and marvelous things through, we're touched by it. And that's not a sign of that you're more spiritual if you didn't, but somebody else did. Let me say this. One of the things that has not been preached enough throughout this whole pandemic is building your immunity. And it is very easy to let your immunity get run down. And so we have to be aware of that. And do the things to build your immunity. I'm right now recognizing I need to build my immunity some. I've not been getting enough sleep the last couple of nights. And if anything is an issue with me is, you know, getting up way too early, staying up too late, getting up praying for people, thinking about things that need to be done, things that I've got on my heart, and so on and so forth, and suddenly, oh, I forgot to sleep last night. You know what I'm saying? So that can be an issue. And the Lord has checked me on that. You know, stay on top of the immunity thing. Amen. Amen. So here we go. Why don't you go ahead and run that video? Before you do, hold on a second. The Lord told me the other day, he said, once you open the door to fear in your life, it becomes very difficult to push it out of the room. Not that it can't go or that you don't have authority over it. It's because when this happens, there's a kind of a process that takes place. It's kind of like when you start to have an odor in a house and you don't deal with it. Have you ever gone to somebody's house and it just reeks and they don't know it? Wait a minute, Pastor Dan. I'm just asking the question. Have you ever gone into a house? They love their animals, but the place smells like animals. Okay. Play that video, Pastor John. Is that the one I picked? Yeah, boy, isn't that? Okay, musty smell in your house now, see. Get a light. Get the, please, one of you gentlemen. Read it. You got to read it. There's no volume with it. A leaky pipe. I'll read it to you. A foundation crack. These are all things that can cause problems. How about a floor drain? Yeah. If you have a floor drain and that dries up. Once you found the water source, repair the problem. Now it's time to fix the smell. Run a dehumidifier for a few days to remove the moisture that's in the air. Okay, this is kind of common sense stuff. Set out a few boxes of baking soda to absorb the odor. If you don't have that, a few bowls of cat litter. Yeah, and the cats are probably part of the problem, right? Amen. Even bowls of white vinegar will absorb odors. It's trying to get a musty smell out of your basement. There's a process. Then you make sure that you ventilate the area by opening a window and getting a fan started. As long as you have fixed the moisture issue and properly dried that area or the area, the odor should be gone in a few days. Okay, praise God, good. Here's the thing. When you have a problem, you need to get to the source of it. You can't just patty cake it. People that end up with situations in their lives and have given in to fear, what happens is they start getting used to it and they don't even know it. It's just like the guy that's got a musty smell in his house. We went into a restaurant down in Corpus Christi years ago. It was on South Padre Island Drive, and it was a Red Lobster. It was right near the Gulf of Mexico where we were headed. And we were headed out to, what's the name of that? Padre Island, South Padre Island. Mustang Island is where we went, actually. Mustang Park. Anyway, so we go into this restaurant, and we sit down, and we're like, it's a nice restaurant. It looked real nice. But you go in there, and you're going, Ann's nose was just curled. I mean, just, she has got sensitive smell. And her nose is just all curled up. And I'm like, what's the matter? It stinks in here. It stinks in here. Who wants to eat when it smells like, yeah. Fish. And no, it wasn't fish. Trust me, it was something else. But anyway. And there were other people in there enjoying it. I'm like, what's the deal here, man? I've gone into homes already. None of your homes, I'm looking around, none of your homes that I've gone into. This is a person who doesn't even come to this church. I went into their house. We did a visitation at the time, went into the house, and it stunk so bad, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And they didn't even know it stunk because they were just fine with it. I'm going, I can't hold my breath this long. Yeah, if I'm here 10 minutes, I'm done. I mean, I can't hold my breath 10 minutes. But my goodness sakes, that's where Christians get into trouble, when they start accepting things. And over the last year, when this thing started, and we've been hearing all the people out there magnifying the problem. You remember that we were going to do this thing for a few weeks to knock the curve down? You remember that? And little by little, it was longer and longer and longer and longer. And I heard some guy say the other day on a thing that was reported, I told Eva today, I said, we've been watching Victory Report a lot, and they're doing news on there on the Victory Channel. Somebody's saying that, we're going going to have to be wearing masks in 2022. You know what? This has got to stop at some point.
Amen.
Germs are germs. We're redeemed. Okay? I know they've got a vaccination out there, a vaccine now, and people are taking it, and praise God for it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm redeemed from all of this. Now, keep your immunity up and walk as the overcomer that you are. But I look at that and I think, you know, Job got into a real problem, into real trouble. Job 3, verse 25, it read that the thing that he had most greatly feared, you remember, came upon him. Can't walk in fear and get away with it. Even if you have justified it, fear is fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Well, guess what? Who are you pleasing if you're walking in fear? And I don't mean reverence. I'm talking about fright. I'm talking about anticipating serious problems with your finances, serious problems in your body, serious problems, and you're thinking down the line, this is probably going to happen to me. You can't walk like that. You have to stand up and say, okay, that's enough of this noise. I'm going to declare the word over my life. Amen. Fear is not of God. It is foul and offensive to the Lord. Okay? Why else would he tell us how many times over, fear not? But see, once fear is let into a person's life, it becomes difficult. It's kind of like when you go into a house and something smells, they can shampoo the rug, but as long as the furniture has that smell in it, it's going to be there. You can get it in the paint of the walls, you know? I watched a short video today when I was looking at those, and it was about 5 minutes. It was too long. But this guy, they bought this duplex, and this person had confessed that, you know, they lived there their whole life, and they smoked cigars in that place. The walls were yellowy from the nicotine and the stuff on the walls. And it stunk to high heavens. The guy cleaned it, said, you know, you can't get it from here because you can't smell it, but it is so foul in here. And when they cleaned it, they got it completely cleaned up. But people just get caught in a pattern, and it just keeps replicating itself over and over, and they begin to accept it, and that's the way it is. How do you think it is when they go into a house and there's dog defecation all over the floor and garbage and there's a rat running through? And how do people ever get to the point where they allow that stuff? Somebody said, well, they're so high on drugs, they don't know what's going on. Well, that could be. But the fact of the matter is, at some point, they start getting used to the vileness, if you will. And we don't want to get used to walking in any kind of fear in any way, shape, or form. Fear is not acceptable before the Lord. Let me read to you. I want to read Psalm 141 out of the Message Bible right quick, and then we'll wrap it up tonight. But the Lord is, and David in writing, penning the Psalms, let me say it that way, he wanted to be well-pleasing to the Lord. He really did. And Psalm 141, as I was reading this, I just thought, you know, this is interesting. Let me just read it to you out of the Message. That's why I'm at the back of the Bible to find Psalms, because in the Message, it's back there. Psalm 141 out of the Message. God, come close, come quickly. Open your ears. It's my voice you're hearing. Treat my prayer as sweet incense rising. You see, our lives should be sweet before him, not a foul odor of fear permeating us. My raised hands are my evening prayers. Post a guard at my mouth, God. Set a watch at the door of my lips. See, you got to be careful that you're not talking fear. Don't let me so much as dream of evil or thoughtlessly fall into bad company. And these people who only do wrong, don't let them lure me with their sweet talk. May the just one set me straight. May the kind one correct me. Don't let sin anoint my head. I'm praying hard against their evil ways. Oh, let their leaders be pushed off a high rock cliff. I thought that was interesting. Make them face the music. Like a rock pulverized by a maul. Let their bones be scattered at the gates of hell. Well, there you go. But God, dear Lord, I only have eyes for you. Since I've run for dear life to you, take good care of me. Protect me from their evil scheming, from all their demonic subterfuge. Let the wicked fall flat on their faces while I walk off without a scratch. I like that. I'll walk off without a scratch. The devil thinks he's going to win this thing. I've got news for him. We are the redeemed, and we're not afraid to say so, and we're not ashamed to say so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. David wanted to be pleasing unto the Lord. And one of the things that we need to be aware of, don't slip over. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Don't slip over into fear and allow that thing to stay. You'll end up with a stinky house. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 tells us that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Come on. Come on, recognize what the enemy's trying to do. Recognize how he's playing people these days. And it has been happening, whether we want to admit it or not, but it has. People have fallen into that thing. And it's all under the guise of, you know, this is science. Like science is greater than the anointing. I've got news for you. It's not. I was reading some of the John G. Lake, I've got that book, his life, his messages, his whatever it's called, big thick book, you know, Brother Copeland's ministry put it out. And John G. Lake is the one that they took, when he was over in Africa, took the bubonic plague off of a dead person's body or a person who was infected with it, and he said, you put it in my hand and it'll die in my hand. And they looked at it under a microscope. Sure enough, it's all alive. And they put it in his hand. Put his hand under there. And they were all dead. Now, why is that? Because the life of God, the Zoe, the greater one who dwelled on the inside of John G. Lake, any germ that came in contact with his body died instantly. That needs to be another one that we add to our confession. Yeah, I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed. And any germ that tries to attach itself to my body dies instantly in Jesus' name. My immunity is strong. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Why do you think when we lay hands on the sick, we believe that they recover? Well, it's God's power in us flowing. But that needs to be in us all the time. Amen. That's not to say that, you know, those of us in here, everybody in here, I'm sure at some point or another, has had some kind of a sickness attach or attack their body. And you vow you're going to learn from that. And God didn't do it. God didn't put it on you. He didn't do it to teach you anything. But you do learn. So add that to your confession. Any disease germ that tries to attach itself to my body has to die instantly in Jesus' name. Just start saying that. Start believing that. We need some believers walking in that more than conqueror lifestyle. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you. We recognize fear is not going to have a hold on us in Jesus' name. Now, we're not going to be stupid about it. We're not going to be foolish about it. We recognize where our faith is at. Lord, I thank you for showing us. I thank you for showing us, Lord God, how to conduct ourselves, how to walk. That doesn't automatically mean that you have the faith that John G. Lake walked in. That doesn't automatically mean that you can just go up to a situation and address it and be fine, because maybe your faith's not there to receive that. Allow your faith to be built up. Stay in the Word. Get into the Word again. Hear the Word. Put the Word first place. The Word. What does the Word say? Father, thank you that you live and dwell in us tonight. And we give you the glory and the praise and the honor that we are more than conquerors. Hupernikos in the Greek. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on, y'all agree? Say amen. Amen, amen and amen.